Colossians chapter number 3, verses 5 through 7. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to come tonight. We have so much to be thankful for. We could literally try to count our blessings, but could not come close to counting all the blessings that we have in Christ. And so we are grateful, and we come tonight worshiping and magnifying the one in whom all things come. Our thanks go to you. Our gratitudes to you for all that you have done for us, especially our salvation. So God, I pray that you would receive our thanks tonight and that you would use your word to help us to better understand you, ourselves, and our life in Christ, and that we would glorify you in all that we do and say, even dealing with our own sins. In Christ's name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen. In the early 1960s, 13 women in the Boston area were murdered, most of them strangled with their nylon stockings by a serial killer termed to be the Boston Strangler. Now, we understand that kind of crime is ungodly, and it runs contrary to the commands of God in the Scripture. But that does not mean we are not to be killers. Matter of fact, Paul says here that we are to be killers. Not killing what is in others, but killing what is in ourselves. We have died with Christ, we have been raised with Christ, and our thoughts and our desires should be on things above, where Christ sits in exaltation on the right hand of God. Our life is hidden in Him, and when He comes again, we will be with Him. That's what Paul said prior to our therefore in verse number 5. Because you are dead in Christ, because you are raised in Christ, because you are your life is hidden with Christ, because when He comes again, you will be with Him. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth. So we want to look at this a little bit tonight and talk about it for a few minutes. Let's begin by looking at verse 5, or part of verse 5, and talk about the responsibilities of believers to be killing. The responsibilities of believers to be killing. I entitled the message tonight, Becoming a Spiritual Serial Killer. Becoming a spiritual serial killer. We are to be killing things, and we have lots to kill. And so we need to be spiritual serial killers. Look at what he says in verse 5, mortify. The word here that is translated, mortify, is a word that means to put to death, to slay, or to destroy. So Paul says we are to put to death. Something needs to be put to death. Something needs to be slain. Something needs to be destroyed. He doesn't say it needs to be tamed, right? He doesn't say it needs to be domesticated. Or he doesn't even say it needs to be ignored or to be locked in a cage. No, he says don't ignore it, don't lock in a cage, don't tame it, don't domesticate it, kill it. Kill it. Kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Let me just say right off the bat here that this is not talking about any type of self-mutilation. The members are going to be detailed for us in just a few minutes. Now, God has done the work that has secured our souls for eternity. Amen? That's what Paul's been talking about. The work that God has done to ensure that our souls will be eternally with Him. However, salvation has not eradicated or removed sin from our flesh. God has freed us from our prior relationship with sin, but He has not freed us from our association with sin. Therefore, while sin no longer has the same power that it had over us before we were saved, sin is still present. God has not destroyed the sin of our flesh. So as we are raised in Christ, as we have died in Christ, we should be killing these things in our lives. God has not killed them, but we should be killing them. These things, these sins, are incompatible with the indwelling of Christ in every believer. Again, the word mortify means to kill, to slay, to destroy. So, that which is in me that is earthly, that which is in you that is earthly, needs to be killed. Now, do you think that Paul used the word mortify, kill, just out of the blue, or do you think that he actually meant that to grab our attention that these things need to be dealt with in our lives? These things, these sins, as we'll see in just a moment, they are the victims and we are to be the hitmen. They cannot be tolerated. They cannot be ignored. They must be killed. You are to be killing your sins, and I am to be killing my sins. I am not held responsible to kill your sins. And you're not held responsible to kill my sins. I am responsible for my own sins, and you are responsible for yours. They need to be killed. And this mortification is going to be a struggle. Because while the Spirit says kill, the flesh begs to let it live. While the Spirit says strangle it, the flesh says satisfy it. And so there's always this struggle between the Spirit and the flesh. The Spirit which wants it killed, the flesh which wants it to flourish. Now, how are these killings to take place, or how are we to go about killing these things in our life? Well, I'm going to offer this. They need to be strangled. You remember the Boston Strangler that I mentioned at the first? He merely deprived his victims of what they needed to have to live. Oxygen. Our sins need to be deprived of what they need to live. We need to smother our sins from any kind of attention, from any kind of affection, and from any thought that we might have of them. And I believe that's why Paul says here that we seek things which are above. We set our affections on things above because the more we think and the more we love and the more that we set our affections on Christ, the less we will think and set our affections on things on this earth. By thinking on Christ, and the more we think on Christ, the more we strangle our sins from what they need to have life and power over us. Now, to kill these sins in our lives, they cannot be just denied. They must be replaced. I think that's the whole idea. You know, we've always heard, you just need to stop. You just need to stop. You just need to quit. But you see, that doesn't make it, because what Paul's trying to teach us here is that these sins have to be replaced. Set your affection on things above. Set your sights on Him so that these sins, these things on earth, may be killed. Replace these sins with Christ. Replace these earthly things with things above. Are you with me? Our thoughts, our affections, our love, our adoration must be placed on Christ. And the more they're placed on Christ, the more our sins are strangled. If we give sin thought, contemplation, attention, we really are giving them life. We're really feeding them instead of starving them. And the flesh must be weakened so as to kill these things the flesh desires. And we do that by feeding the Spirit, by consuming our thoughts, by consuming our desires, and consuming our attention on things of God. One of the two is getting strangled out. If we sin, we're strangling things above out. And if we set our affection on things above, we're strangling sins. The idea, just stop, don't think about it, don't do it, don't contemplate it, that doesn't work. Those things have to be replaced and placed on something else. So what is our responsibility as believers who are in Christ, who have died with Christ, who now have been raised with Christ, who are with Christ, and whose life is hid with Christ? What is our responsibility? To be on a killing rampage of those things in our life that are earthly and not heavenly. Amen? You understand that most of the time in church today, we don't talk about that. We sort of pet our sins. We sort of cohabitate with our sins. We sort of let our sins sort of move in and have their place. And Paul said, you better be killing them. Mortify these things in your life. And then notice, secondly, verse number 6, the reminding of believers what needs killing. The reminder to believers what they need to be killing. So here's how he describes those earthly things that need to be killed: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. There's the list. Five things that need to be killed, and then the summation of the five at the end. Let's walk through them here just for a moment. Fornication. It is the Greek word porneia. It means all sexual sins, including adultery, including sexual relations outside of marriage, including homosexuality, including lesbianism, including incest, including bestiality. All sexual sins included in this one word, porneia, which is translated fornication. Now, let me just say this. Our sins don't start with the acts themselves, but they start in the mind and then to the heart and then to acts. The acts are simply the manifestation of what has been being desired in the heart and what has been thought of in the mind. If you think about it, it'll become a desire. If you desire it, it'll become an act. Say amen. You can't give sexual sins any air. They must be strangled. Don't give them thought. Don't fan the flame. Starve it of air. Starve it of what it needs to live. Don't think about it. Don't fantasize about it, or you'll wind up doing it. What does Paul say? Kill it! Now understand this. Some of these things are in us. They need to be killed. Amen? And it's not good for us to deny, well, I would never do that. I would never do that. Hang on now. You better be careful what you'll never do, because God may put you to the test and see exactly what you're going to do, and you'll find out how big a failure you are. Just go ahead and kill it. That's in your own heart. Mortify it. Don't tempt it. Don't flirt with it. Kill it. Amen? Notice, secondly, there is uncleanness. This is anything that is morally unclean, lewd. It is incontinence in general. Anything that is ungodly. Anything that defiles. Or we could say, anything that is morally inappropriate. Such as evil thoughts, evil intentions, evil lust, impure motives. Don't think that the only the actions are the sin. The motives are sin. The thoughts are sin. The desires are sin as well. The motives of what you do, the intentions of why you do what you do, the thoughts that precede what you do, those things are sinful as well. Be killing them. Strangle them. Suffocate them. Don't give them air to breathe. Inordinate affection. That's passion. It's passion in a negative sense. It's lust. It's affection negatively. It's vile passions. It's depraved passions. It's evil desires. It's really passion for excess. It means disorderly or unrestrained feelings or unrestrained thoughts. No boundaries or limits in our thoughts and our affections, our lust, our passions. In other words, doesn't matter who it hurts. It doesn't matter what devastation it causes. I want it. I'm going to do it. Isn't that true in the matter of adultery? The two people don't care what damage they're going to do. They don't care what lives they're going to ruin. They don't care what children's lives they're going to ruin. All they care about is whom? Themselves. What is that? That's inordinate affection. And then evil concupiscence. These are evil cravings, evil longings. It is desiring that which is forbidden. It's what you have if you go to someone's house and they say, I want you to stay here for a couple hours. We're going to go down the road, but while we're gone, you can do anything you want, but don't look in that closet. And what begins to come up in you is this desire to see and to do that which has been forbidden. You with me? It is the desire for what you can't have. It's the desire for what you shouldn't have. It is an appetite for what you know you should not have. These are carnal appetites. It is desires fixed on sensual objects and pleasures and profits and honors. It is desiring what you don't have and hating the one that does have it. It's wanting the promotion and hating the person that gets it instead of you. Somebody help me. It's wanting a position and not getting the position and despising the one that does. It is wanting honor, and when you don't get it, you hate the one that does get the honor. That's what the word literally means. You're craving and you're longing for these things, and you hate the ones that actually are given these things. And then there is covetousness, which is the desire to have more. It is discontentment. It is a craving to have more and a willingness to do whatever you must do to have it. It is an attitude of not enough. It is selfishness and unconcern for others in your effort to gain more. It is fraud. It is extortion. It is pride's ugly cousin, covetousness. In other words, I don't have enough. I want more. And if you've got what I want, I'll take that. Amen? Now, you all were sitting here saying, well, that, I don't know who that's hitting tonight, but that got right by me. I'm good. Notice how Paul sums fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. He says, you know what they are? They are idolatry. These five sins that we are to kill and should be killing are idolatry. You see, if you're going to kill something, or if you're going to kill a person, you don't do it by cutting off their fingers or their toes. You got to strike where the life is. The problem is not that we fornicate or we're unclean or we have inordinate affections or evil concupiscence or covetousness. The problem is we are idolaters. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. We are idolaters. And I know we don't have stone idols or wooden idols, but you have something far worse than stone idols and wooden idols. You have yourself. And yourself is far worse and far more subtle. You see, your idol is you. My idol is me. And when we give into these sins, what we are really doing is we are worshiping ourselves instead of worshiping God. We are putting ourselves ahead of God. Our desires and our passions are put ahead of the desires of God. We are not seeking things above, and our affections are not placed on Him. We have set ourselves up to be satisfied ourselves. And every time we sin, we have chosen ourselves over God. Whether we have a little figure or not, look in the mirror. There's your idol. And every time we sin, you know what we have done? We have worshipped the idol of self. Every sin. You see, these are just symptoms. All this, just symptoms. Just symptoms of the major problem, which is idolatry. Every sin comes from the root of idolatry. Every sin is, in its essence, self-worship. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to have what I want, and I don't care if it hair-lips God or not. Somebody help me. You can put whatever name you want to on it, but Paul calls it idolatry. Whatever evil man does, he does because he's an idolater. Why do I sin? Because I'm an idolater. We worship ourselves above God. And listen, it's devilish behavior to worship ourselves above God. So what's Paul saying? Be killing these things or you're going to be an idolater. Be killing these things. Are you going to be worshiping yourself? Be killing these things. Are you going to be elevating yourself and worshiping yourself over God? Listen, be killing these things or you won't be setting your affections on things above. You won't be seeking things above. You'll be seeking your own satisfaction and your own pleasure. That's what needs to be killing. Notice, thirdly, the reasoning for believers to be killing. Verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Paul says you need to be a spiritual serial killer. And what you need to be killing is these sins in your life that are all about you being a worshiper of yourself. These things are keeping you from seeking things above. They're keeping you from setting your affection on things above because your thoughts and your ideas and your desires and your passions are here instead of there. And then we're told why we need to be killing these things in our life. Why should we strangle them? Why should we be setting our affections on things above? Why should we do these things so we stop worshiping ourselves and worship Christ? And what God says here, what Paul says here, is that we need to stop wanting what we want and start wanting what God wants for us. Why? That's the question. Why? The first reason, it's found in verse number 6. The things that we are doing, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, those things that are summed up as idolatry, those things are the very things that God's wrath is pointed at in those people who are disobedient. They're not points of blessing. They're points of wrath. They're points of God's displeasure. They're points of God's anger. So it's going to be wrath to the unbeliever. It's going to be chastening to the believer. You see, don't play with sin because it's going to bite you. People are damned by those things. Do you see what he's saying? Those unbelievers, those children of disobedience who live their lives with fornication, sexual sins, and all of those things, idolatry. You know what? They're going to be damned for those things. Why would you want to do those things that will damn people? Those things will damn you, or at least they will bring you under the chastening hand of God to the point you may wish you were damned. These things that you do, if you do them, they will bring hard consequences into your life. Either kill it or it'll be killing you. God wants to give you good, but we demand His correction by not killing these things in our life. Don't you want blessings? Why would we do things that bring chastening? Why would we do things that bring wrath? These are the very things that the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. People will be damned for these things. Why would we do them? The second reason is found in verse number 7. In the which ye also walked. Got this ED right here. You know what that means? Past tense. Right? In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived, past tense, in them. The second reason that we ought to be killing these things in our life is that these are the things that we used to do, but we're no longer like that. Are we not different now? Has not Paul went through and told us how different we are? This life, those things were part of the old you, not the new you. You have been saved from those things. Listen, Christmas time, name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their idolatry. This is old life stuff, not new life stuff. We have been delivered from the power of those things. When we were lost, we couldn't help but do them. But now we are saved. We choose to do them. Listen, for a believer to be in Christ, for us to know that our life is Christ, our life is hid with Christ. When He comes again, we will be with Him. He has saved our soul. It makes no sense that we would do these things. Right? It makes no sense. If we are new creatures, how can we act like an old creature? Right? If your old spouse has died and you get married to a new spouse, you're no longer under the authority of the old one, correct? Listen, we have died and been married to Christ. The old does not have any authority over us anymore. He has authority over us. It just doesn't make sense that we would go back and we would wallow in the mud that we have been rescued from. So why would we now reacquaint ourselves with them? Someone who claims to be living in Christ and is not killing these sins in their life in which they were delivered from, that just doesn't make any sense. That's what Paul's saying. Does it matter how we live? Yes. What should I be doing? Killing these things in my life. Strangling these things in my life. Not letting these idolatrous thoughts and ideas gain any grip in my life. Kill them, strangle them, cut off the life of them. How do I do that? Seek those things above. Set my affection on things above. Because when I start getting earthly, I start becoming a full-fledged idolater. Amen? The very things that people would be damned for are the very things I'm doing. And if I'm different now, why am I doing what I used to do? It just doesn't make sense. Say amen. So, Paul says, what you need to do is you need to be a full-fledged, card-carrying, spiritual serial. And you're like me. You got a lot of stuff that needs to be killed. Amen? Let's start strangling them tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Pray that you would help us tonight in doing those things that we have been given responsibility to do, and that is to strangle and to kill these things in our life which are ungodly and which lead to idolatry and worship of ourselves instead of worship of God. God, help us to want what you want for us and not what we want. and help us to understand how foolish it is, how silly it is, how senseless it is for us who have been changed and us who have been made new to even go back and dabble in the things that we used to do. Give us clarity here and help us to be killing these things in our lives so that we may glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.